You're listening to the Calvary Church audio experience, designed to empower and encourage you throughout your week.
Well, hello, Calvary family. I hope that you are doing well today. What a week we have had. And I want to give a good welcome. We've made some adjustments due to everything going on everywhere. And so we have made some adjustments, and I want to give a welcome to everybody worshiping in different venues all over this Irving location. Would you give a good hand clap to everyone in every other venue right now? You are truly an amazing church. We are in week three of a five-part series that I have called The Hustle Is Over. I didn't say the hustle is real. I said the hustle is over. And I don't know about you, but we've been hustled by fear and anxiety and worry this week. And so before we get back into the teaching, we're going to see some things that Jesus has to say today. But I just want to share a few things from my heart. I want to take just a couple of minutes right here and just share some things from my heart. First, saying to you that you truly are an amazing church, and thank you for hearing me out, because I know on some of the decisions that I've made, you know, there's been some questions and I want to bring some clarity. But I want you to know that as a pastor, I am being asked important questions like this. You know, should we close the church for the duration of what they've called the outbreak, you know? And the reality is, I have been on the phone this week with many, many pastors from all over America, and we've all been facing the same questions and having to make decisions. We've never been here before, and so we are getting all kinds of calls and all kinds of texts and all kinds of DMs from concerned Christians struggling and suggesting that they close the door and that they cancel their worship experiences. So what should they do? Well, after much thought and much prayer, and I'm so grateful to the Lord for a team that's given me time to do that and to process a little bit, I just want you to know, church, that unless we are ordered by authorities to shut our doors for medical reasons, I want you to know, I believe the church has got to remain open. I really do. And I know that churches have closed down everywhere, and I think sometimes we forget that I am not Broadway. We are not Broadway. We are not the NBA. We are not entertainment. I know sometimes it can feel that way in our current church culture, that it's entertainment and we are entertainers. I am not into entertainment. We are a hospital. We are a place of worship. We are a place that people should go when nothing else is open. And yes, I want to make it very clear. We need to always give our staff and dream teamers the option of staying home if they feel that is what's best, and we gladly do that. But I really believe that the church needs to stay open. It's amazing to me that in recent days, God has been laying on my heart the desire to do gospel circles in cities everywhere. And I want you to continue to dream about that and believe that. And I'm so excited that this past week, can we give God praise? This past week, we had 11 gospel circles that are going now, permanent locations, and you can see them right there on your app. But this week, listen to this. This week, I was in California. I flew out Monday. I was there Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. I started in Los Angeles with a gospel circle. Then I was in Eastvale with a gospel circle. And then I was in San Francisco two nights with a gospel circle. And then I was in Sacramento with a gospel circle. Listen to me, church. People want good news. I just want you to know that There's still good news out there. And the good news is Jesus. And how many of you know he's the greatest news in the world? And there's still a good invitation. And you know what that good invitation is? Come on, it's rest. As a matter of fact, lift your hands right now and hear the Lord. Come to me, all you who are weary and tired and worn out and frustrated and sick and tired and depressed and anxious and burned out on do-it-yourself living, trying to fix all the world's issues by yourself. Come to me and hear the Lord say this: I will give you rest. And not just any kind of rest. Look what he says. I will give you rest for your soul. Soul rest. Just take a deep breath right there. Come on. Soul rest. He's giving you your sanity back in Jesus' name. So I just want to share a couple of things from my heart first before I get in, pick up where we left off. We kind of had a disruption this week. So first I would say this. Fear and paranoia will sideline more Christians than any virus. Let me say that again. Fear and paranoia will sideline more Christians than any virus. And I get it. We've been a little anxious this week. I get it. A little anxiety is understandable. But listen to me, church. You are the church. You are the company of called out people. You are filled with the power of God. Listen to me carefully. Crippling fear is something we have to overcome. Crippling fear is something we must overcome. And how many of you know he made you an overcomer? Life does not overcome you. You overcome in life. As a matter of fact, Paul said it's the gift of grace and righteousness. That you reign in life. Life doesn't reign over you. You reign in life. I've been teaching this over and over and over again. And guess what, y'all? Now we get to live it. We've been talking about it, saying we believe it, clapping our hands about it, saying amen to it. But now guess what? Every day we get to choose to live it. And if you were to list, some of you think it's the end of the world as we know it and we're all just going to die. Well, listen, if you were to list the top 10 ways you could die, did you know the coronavirus would not even be on your list? It probably wouldn't even make the top 100. Yes, I will say the coronavirus is infectious, but so are many other diseases. As a matter of fact, tell me this, while the world's panicking today over this, what about as a pastor this week when I'm talking to a family in this church and encouraging a man who this week found out he had cancer? So dealing with other issues and things going on. My point is there are many other things. And the solution is to take care, not for the church to take off. Let's take care, not take off. And I was flying this week. I mean, I'm flying all over the place they call the hotbed. And I'm like, my God, why this week am I here? And I start thinking about it when I was flying to Sacramento, and I start thinking about it. Imagine if Jesus had been afraid of sick people. I'll tell you right now, he would have never come for me because I was pretty sick. But he came for me, and I'm so glad. But then let me say this, number two. Whenever people are afraid, here's what I've noticed. Racism will rear its ugly head. I was reading this week while I was in the San Francisco area. The headline read, "As coronavirus spreads, so does xenophobia and anti-Asian racism." Church, let me make something very clear. That at Calvary Church, we don't simply tolerate diversity. We celebrate diversity. And church, we are still going to look out for our Chinese neighbors and brothers and sisters, and we're going to be friendly to the exchange students, and we're going to support people in our community. In other words, I don't mean to mess with you, but it's okay, church, for you to be normal. And I think that's important. And we're going to do that. And I want us to be a church that truly lives what we preach. And then also, I just want to say this real quick. I know I'm taking a little time here, but I think it's important. I want to say this. In times of darkness, listen to me. In times of darkness, people crave the light. They crave the light. And in every crisis, church, there is an opportunity. I talk to you in every venue right now. In every crisis, there is an opportunity. And I really believe that this is a time for the church to shine. You may not be asked to volunteer in some kind of infectious ward. I don't know. But my point is this. You do have an opportunity to fight every day the related infections of fear and racism and paranoia and hoarding and insanity. And church, it is time like never before for us to shine, to be a light in dark places. And church, I really believe this is really our hour. We're going to help more people. We're going to do more than we've ever done. We're going to give like we've never given. We're going to go. We're going to serve the community. We're going to love. We're going to protect one another. We're going to serve one another. We're going to serve the household of faith. We're going to support one another. Our team right now is coming up with ways how we can stay connected in a greater way. That's why I'm so excited about our weekday locations and our gospel circles and the technology we've created this year to keep us connected. That's why I say every week, if you don't have the app, get it and turn on the notification, because I'm sending out encouragement every day, and I'm going to be doing something special as long as we walk this thing out until we come out the other side. I just want to know, as a pastor or a shepherd, it is my desire that we as a church don't scatter, but we come together and we work together and we love one another and we help one another, and we're not hoarding and controlling. We're people that want to love and serve and help and give. Why? Because we are the church. And that's all I have to say about that today, y'all. Does that make sense? Is that all right? And to those of you that are watching online today, God bless you. I'm so glad you are with us today, wherever you're at. God bless you. But for the past few weekends now, we're going to pick up, and I want you to go with me, please, quickly. I want to read some of the words of Jesus, Matthew chapter 6. Would you do that? But for the past couple of weeks, we've been hanging out in Luke chapter 12, and today we're going to look at another place where Jesus talks about this important subject that we've been dealing with. And it's found here, again, Matthew chapter 6. I want you to know, as you're going there right now, grace will take you places that hustling can't. And some of us right now feel like we got to hustle to make things happen. No, listen to me. Jesus is still going to be your rock. And out of that rock is going to come all the provision you need. And I declare that over you. So for the past 2 weeks, we've seen that when it comes to money, what did I say? I said, he owns it, we use it. He owns it, we use it. That was week one. But then week two, I told you this, and what a timely word this was. I said this, he's faithful, so we don't need to worry. He's faithful, so we don't need to worry. And I'll say this, if you missed any of this series, you need to check it out. Again, use that Calvary app. Again, the notes are there, the verses of scripture, so you can follow along. Every day you can follow along. You can even look up all those scriptures. You can stay in the Word, which I think is so important. As a matter of fact, would you take some time every day to turn off all of the news and turn off all the social media and get into God's Word? And be reminded what God believes true. You know, having been around church much of my life, I have made some observations along the way, and I'm going to pull the curtain back and share some of those observations with you today. And then I'm going to share some good things with you. And we're going to take communion together. But there's a lot out there being promoted as though it's Christian, when in reality it is not. As a matter of fact, there's a whole lot of things being preached right now as good news. And the fact of the matter is, it is not. There's a whole lot of preachers, you know, saying that God's judging us, judging the world. I guess they haven't heard the gospel that Jesus took all judgment on himself. He took our sin in his body, and judgment was poured out, and that sin was dealt with once and for all. The world needs to hear the good news. The reality is now it's the acceptance or the rejection of sin sacrifice. And I don't want to bother anybody, but if you're thankful for Jesus, the sacrifice, would you clap your hands and give God praise? Come on. And if you're really glad that up from the grave he arose, come on, somebody, give God praise. That means you're alive. Because if you died with him, you will live with him. And so I've noticed now that there are some persistent schools of thought that, church, we've really got to avoid. And we got to avoid it as Christians, even though they're often presented as biblical. And the first I want to talk about quickly, I'm just going to touch on it. I'm not going to stay here a long time. But the first is this. It's called poverty theology. Poverty theology. And poverty theology mistakenly teaches that Christians should have deep disdain for material possessions or money. It says that if you want to be really spiritual, then you've got to what? You got to sell all you have. You got to give it to the poor. You got to take a vow of poverty because you want to affirm your undistracted allegiance to Jesus. And this kind of theology, I guess, you know, you could say, well, that sounds very biblical because most of the early Christians, you know, look at them, they were poor. But you need to understand that that wasn't because they were Christians. That was because most people were poor across the board. And as you study, as persecution increased in the Roman Empire, it became even more difficult for Christians to make a living. Now, when you read through the New Testament, here's what we see. We see that there's plenty of encouragement, plenty of instruction for people who are rich as well as for those who are poor. So poverty theology isn't biblical. Being poor is not some automatic sign of your real devotion to God. Now, there's a second type of bad theology, and you want to know what I call that? That's called prosperity theology. And I want to touch on this quickly because prosperity theology is very rampant. It's more rampant than poverty theology, and this theology says that God wants every Christian to be healthy and wealthy. And this theology implies that if you aren't these things, here's the problem. If you aren't these things all the time, then there may be something wrong with your relationship with God. Or something wrong with your faith. And did you know that some of these groups actually go so far as to say that being poor is evidence that a person isn't truly a child of God? Or I've heard it said that they may be hiding some kind of sin in their life. Now, this is absolutely ridiculous, and it's a lie that's been around, did you know, since the days of Job. Because if you read the book of Job, his so-called friends, how many of y'all ever had that, so-called friends? His so-called friends make these ridiculous suggestions that the reason for Job's suffering, that because of what he's going through, that because of what he's dealing with, it's linked to some secret sin in his life. Prosperity theology, I'm telling you, is running rampant around the world, Africa right now, Asia right now, South America, and it is despicable because there are many American ministries that are setting up there in some of the poorest places in the world, and they're asking these people to give their money, and in exchange, they're telling them that God will accept them, that God will favor them, that if they give enough, God will bless them and give them the goodies, you know, like he's done it here in America. I just want to say, church, poverty theology and prosperity theology are both the extremes and are blatantly unbiblical. And that's not to say that God might not call some of us to have more, some to have less, but it is saying that neither financial prosperity or financial poverty are reliable indicators of spiritual vitality, of spiritual life. Look, let me just say it like this, okay? You can be rich or poor and be a solid Christian. You can be rich or poor and be a dirtbag as well. Are y'all getting this? You can be rich or poor and be generous. You can be rich or poor and be stingy. You can be rich or poor and be faithful. You can be rich or poor and be faithless. You can be rich or poor and be kind. You can be rich or poor and be mean. If y'all are getting this, somebody say, I got it. Okay, so let's balance this thing out today with some goodness. Jesus got some stuff to say, because I heard someone say one time, blessed are the balanced, they shall outlast everyone else. So I talked about a poverty theology, a prosperity theology, but write this down. How about a proper theology? How about a proper theology as related to what we've been dealing with in this series, which is provision? Let me tell you something. There's a lot of questions right now about provision. That's why I'm so glad that we are in this series. And I can't think of a better source than looking at what Jesus has to say on this matter. So I want you to look at Matthew 6. Good news here is that it's chock full of practical wisdom. And first thing, write this word down. He uses the word treasure. Write that word down in your notes. And I want you to look at Matthew 6. Let's begin at verse 19. I'm going to read to 24. If you all ready, say yes. Okay, let's begin. Here we go, 19. Listen to Jesus' words. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And if y'all remember right there, Jesus made that statement where? Luke 12, where we've been studying. Look at 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. 23. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one or love the other. He'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And then he stops there. Now, it would probably be safe to say that on some level, we all, every one of us, struggle with materialism. And I'm telling you, Jesus realized this right here in the first century, that most people not only struggle with materialism, but can I go as far to say, we struggle with the task of managing what God has given to us. Because in this series, we've learned it's all God's. He's loaned it to us, and we manage it. And we struggle to manage what God's given to us. And I know that Jesus taught on many, many different issues, and this particular message right here on money is found, did you know, right in the middle of what's called the Sermon on the Mount. And as he is blazing a trail through many different topics, he eventually comes to this subject right here, and he brings up a big question. He raises a big question right here, and it's this. Church, hear me. Where is your treasure? Where is your money? I'm going to tell you why so many people are freaked out right now. The question is this, where is your treasure? Where is your money? And then he goes on by giving us a series of questions, of tests. I call them like a pop quiz, pop quizzes, four pop quizzes. I'm not going to give them all to you, but I'm going to give you maybe one or two today. But this pop quiz is to get us honest about our lives so that we will not be hustled by materialism. Let me tell you something. We are being hustled. We are being harassed. We are being hurt by materialism in this culture. So I want us to look at these tests quickly. Write it down. I may only have time for one today, and God willing, we're going to come back and get into the rest. But look at this. One, the durability test. The durability test. Now, the durability test prompts us to ask this question. And my God, whatever venue you're in right now listening to me, how about this? Here's the question. Oh, this question is being asked everywhere right now. How long will something last? The durability test. How long will something last? And what does Jesus do? If you look at the text, he juxtaposes a negative command with a positive command. Look how he does it. Look again at 19 and 20. A negative command with a positive command. Look at it. 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. And then you go to verse 20, and then what does he do? He gives the positive command. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Do y'all see it? Right there at the get-go, what does he use? You wrote the word down. He uses the word treasure. And Jesus doesn't explicitly say money at this point, but he does later on, because many in his audience, the reality is, you gotta understand, who's he talking to? Many in his audience wouldn't have been able to put their hands on cash anyway. They're struggling. So instead he says treasure, and I like this, church. He says treasure because everyone, I don't care, rich or poor, white, black, I don't care who you are, male, female, everyone has something they treasure. The fact of the matter is, we may treasure our home, we may treasure our car, we may treasure our smartphone, we may treasure our computer, we may treasure our clothes, we may treasure our job, we may treasure some relationship. Let me tell you something, we may treasure our position. Let me tell you, folks right now are freaking out. You're finding out what they treasure. And the reality is, it's important to notice that Jesus isn't saying that it's wrong to have treasures. What he's saying is that the focus of our lives need to be on laying up treasures in heaven, not just here on earth. Because let me tell you something, things change here on earth. It's up one day and it's down the next, and it's one announcement this hour and one announcement the next. And I think if I could boil it down to one sentence, here's what Jesus is saying. And church, I want you to hear this today. This is a word. Stop living as though planet Earth is all there is. This is what Jesus is saying. Stop living as though planet Earth is all there is. And did you know, as I was studying this, this command is in the present Greek, present tense in the Greek language, and it literally means this: stop storing up now. In other words, Jesus is saying, stop it this minute. We're being told to stop doing something that has been a habit that we've grown accustomed to for most of our lives. And Jesus knows that one of our human habits is to what? We love to accumulate stuff here on this earth. And you know what's crazy? When we live in fear, we start to hoard. When we live in faith, we start to let go. When we live in fear, we start to hoard. Now, I'm not saying you should not have some things put away for your family. That's not what I'm saying. But here's what I am saying. When we live in fear, we love to hoard, to store up stuff here on this earth. I'm telling you, it's crazy. Going to Costco right now and Sam's Club, and everybody's grabbing everything. I mean, some of you just freaked out, paranoid, and all you got left with, they took everything. And now you're just hoping to live on a few almonds and... And you know, whatever was left on the counter. Are y'all getting this? I'm telling you, I mean, you're just left with just an almond and a banana. Come on, somebody. But again, he isn't saying thou shalt not have any earthly possessions, but the key is what? He says, church, for yourself. Jesus is speaking about the selfish, self-centered accumulation of goods as the thing we are looking to right now for our satisfaction in this life and for our security. People are thinking, if I just get some stuff, then I'll be secure. And then he mentions two specific things that are liable to happen with our stuff. Write it down. He says this: stuff decays, and he says stuff can easily disappear. Oh, have we learned that over the last few days? Boy, that one on stuff decays. I tell you what, isn't that crazy? In Jesus' day, I found this interesting as I was studying. In Jesus' day, did you know wealth was measured partly by clothing? And so, because garments represented a considerable financial investment at that time, and the best clothing was made out of wool, was made out of fine fabrics, but no matter, here's what Jesus is saying. I don't care what it is. I don't care how good it is. You may say it's the best of the best. I don't care if it's Versace. I don't care if it's Prada. I don't care if it's Louis. I don't care if it's Gucci. Some old little moth. Are y'all getting this? Some old moth, it don't care what it is, could chew right through that garment. And I want you to know it will decay. And Jesus says what? You can't put your investment in that stuff. It's going to decay. And then he talks about rust as something that will destroy as well. But then he talks about this: stuff can easily disappear. And this is crazy because at that time, did you know valuables, when Jesus is talking to these people, valuables were actually buried out in fields or hidden inside mud bricks in a wall. And back in those days, you know what's crazy? Thieves, you'd see thieves digging around in your field. You'd see thieves messing with your walls. What are they doing? They're trying to search for valuables that you've hidden. So Jesus is just reminding the people, if you stockpile your stuff, you better recognize the moths and rust will eventually get to it. And if you try to hide it for yourselves, he says thieves can even break in and steal it. And in this life, I get it, material wealth can easily decay and disappear. So don't allow stuff to be the focus of your life. Right now, more than ever before, the church has got to lift their eyes and fix our eyes on Jesus, the faithful one who says that I will give you all things pertaining to this life and your godliness, which means whatever you need in this life, I'll take care of it for you. And some of you are striking and striking and striking and striking and striking. Speaks of what? It speaks of effort. It speaks of work. It speaks of sweat. When the reality is, believer, you need to be speaking. Think about the things we've been speaking all week. Think about the things we've been saying in fear and in anxiety. The reality is, church, we've been given authority to speak to the rock, and prophetically that speaks of Jesus, who is our rock. And I declare, lift up your hands now, church, whatever venue you're in, I prophesy over Calvary Church that this will be your greatest day. No matter what's going on around you in this world, this church will refuse to speak fear and doubt and unbelief and worry and anxiety, but we will open up our mouth, speak to the rock, and I prophesy that out of that rock will flow all the provision you need, and my God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches found where? In the rock. It's in the rock. Don't touch your neighbor. Don't touch your neighbor, but give God a good hand clap of praise. And somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Don't touch your neighbor. Because we're all into social distancing now. Is there anybody here that knows? Don't you dare touch your neighbor. He may punch you in the face. Are y'all getting this? Think about what our forefathers wrote on money. Said what? In God we what? Wrong. I think it ought to say it. I think it probably should say, in stuff we trust. Are we really trusting God? No, for real. I know we call ourselves believers, but are we really trusting God? It says in God we trust, but I think it ought to say in stuff. We Americans, I think we're getting a little rattled right now, because the fact of the matter is it's letting us know we love our stuff. Matter of fact, we want good stuff, and many of us have a virus that's worse than the other virus, and you know what I call it? It's called stuffitis. And we've become unable to live without buying. I mean, our life's over if we can't buy. I mean, we want stuff. I mean, stuff has become the focus of our life, not the Christ life, not goodness and not mercy and righteousness. We just want the stuff that our friends have, and we want the stuff that the billboard says, and we want the stuff that social media says, and we want the stuff that the TV says, and this stuffitis is making people sick. We don't know contentment. Contentment. Take a deep breath. Content. I am content in all things. I am content. So the real issue isn't whether we're going to store up treasures. That's a given, church. The real issue is where are we going to store up treasure? Because we're going to store up treasure. But he's saying, where are we going to store up treasure? Where are we going to do our banking, our storing up? Let the world be restless. Let the unbeliever be anxious. But the believer will not walk anxious. The believer will walk in trust, confident, and secure, knowing that I have stored up for me treasure in heaven. And because of that fact, that earthly investments, they are unstable. These earthly investments we've made, think about this, they're not stable. That's why we're so insecure. You think about the last 24, 48 hours this week. One day, it's tanking. It's the worst since the 80s. Next day, we're moving back up. It is up and down and in and out. And one day, it's the end of the world as we know it. My God, but I feel fine. And the next day, it's like, what are we doing? We're going to be all right. And then we get more word and we're freaked out. And Jesus is challenging us. Stop living on this wave of up and down and up and down. He says this, church, the righteous are stable. The unrighteous are what? They are unstable because an unstable man, he cannot make his mind up. But I want to know at Calvary, there are some believers who have made their mind up that come hell or high water. Are y'all getting this? That whether I've got plenty or I've got lack, that whether I'm up or whether I'm down, whether I got a job this week or I'm looking next week, no matter what, I declare it is well with my soul. Is there anybody here that can say Monday tomorrow, I'm not going to get up and look at the world around me, but I'm going to set my eyes on Jesus and say it is well with my soul. I may look at my bank account and go, oh my God, what are we going to do? But I want to hear believers say, it is well with my soul. You may have to deal with some issues this year, this month, this week, but how many of you will say, it is well with my soul? And where does that come from? It comes from a revelation of contentment. Contentment. Church, are you content? Are you content? Most of the time you ask people, how are you doing? The first thing they say is, oh my God, what are we going to do? But you want to know what a believer says? How are you? Imagine us saying this, I don't lack anything. Why? Why? That's it. The Lord, you just said it. Thank you. The Lord is my shepherd. And in Him, don't miss this, I lack no good thing. Why? Because even now He leads me into green pastures that have already been prepared. And by the way, green speaks of the new covenant. And watch this. He leads me by still, quiet, restful waters. When I peer into those waters, I get a real revelation of who I truly am in Christ. And can I just declare over you, church, instead of believing every day that lack and that destruction are following you, believer, lift up your hands. What if you believe that goodness and mercy is still following you all the days of your life? I don't care what venue you are in right now. Lift up your hands and in your own words, just begin to say, it is well with my soul. Come on, for the next moment. Come on, with hands lifted. Don't ask for anything. Just thank Him that it's already done. Come on. In the name of Jesus. Come on, lift it up. In the name of Jesus. Before we gather around the Lord's table, come on, with hands lifted. Just thank Him. It is well. That's the greatest statement of faith. It is well. I'm confident that the one who started it is going to be the one who completes it. I'm confident that Jesus, You are enough. Come on, church, say it with me. Say, it is well with my soul. Come on, with hands lifted, let's sing it together. Come on. Thank You, Jesus. Come on, lift those hands together. Get your eyes off of everything going on in this world. Now set your eyes on the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Peace like a river. keep those hands lifted. Come on.
When sorrows like sea billows roll,
say,
whatever my lot,
whatever my lot, you're teaching me to say. Say it, church.
It is well. It is well with my soul.
Say. Words, just thank him right now. Just thank him. Don't clap. Just thank him. Just thank him. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. And now in the name of Jesus, I declare over every person that we are a people of peace. Our minds are at peace. We draw from the peace of God that dwells within us. We acknowledge every good thing in us in Christ Jesus. And Calvary Church, I don't know about every church, but Calvary Church, we will be a people who overcome. Fear goes in the name of Jesus. Perfect love casts out all fear. Fear has torment. But in the name of Jesus now, we set our eyes on you and we're thankful. And we are a people who understand where the investment must be. And I thank you that as a church, we're just going to continue. We're going to continue believing that this will be, no matter what's going on around us, the greatest days of Calvary Church. That we will see more done, that we will see more provision, that we will continue to see weekend and weekday locations and gospel circles and the Gospel Institute and pouring into the next generation of kids and students and GCCM and our local outreach, that we won't be afraid to love our city and to love our world. And I'm so thankful for what we have prepared even this month with our special needs, what we want to do with special needs children and their families. We don't want to let up. We don't live in fear. We're going to continue to be a church that moves with faith, with great faith, even when we are faithless. We thank you that you are faithful. We're going to be a people who share, who do what the opposite of what the world does. When the world is restless, we say we're at rest. When the world is anxious, we say we're at peace. When the world's in turmoil, we say we rely on the one who's faithful to meet all of our needs in Jesus' name. And we all said together, amen. Now, church, you can be seated quickly. And if you would, while you're seated, clap your hands and give God praise. Would you do that? How many of you, with a show of hands, you'll raise your hand and say, I believe and receive today? We're going to take communion, and I'm believing for a real healing moment today, but I'm going to share with you, church. You may want to turn off all the news notifications on your phone for a little bit every day, and you may want to begin to get into God's Word. I'm going to do something every day where I'm going to begin to just pour the gospel into you in unique ways using our app. Every day, just pouring some good news into you, because I want to fill you with good news. Why? Because only free people can free people. Guess what? If you live anxious, you're not going to set anyone free. But I want to tell you today, as a church, I'm going to be very honest with you. And I'm going to say that as a pastor, and there are pastors all over America today who are saying, God, what are we going to do? I feel anxious because our church is taken care of by faithful people, whether you're here, whether you're in other venues, or whether you're online. But I told you that I believe we're going to see the greatest provision even when they say it's the greatest famine. And church, I told you at the beginning of this year, we're not going to be doing a whole lot of sexy stuff. I told you, we're just going to be faithful. And the Bible says that when we are well done, good and faithful. Let me tell you something. When we live in this way, full of faith, and for some of us, it's not the time to pull back. It's the time to move forward. It's the time to give. And for those of you that are watching online today, I sure hope that you take that Calvary app, the App Store, Calvary Church CC, one word, or you go to Calvary Church CC, the website, and we give. And I want to say thank you to every person who has set up reoccurring giving. I've told you all this year the importance of reoccurring giving, because what if one weekend, and it could happen, they say, you can't meet? That is the end potentially for a whole lot of churches if the people don't understand. So I'm saying today, what's so good, church, is that at this point we're just going to walk every day by faith. We don't know. I'm not at this point, we're not planning any layoffs or any shifts or any changes. But what I am saying to you, we don't know what next week, this week, the next day, the next few weeks holds. But as a church, let's be faithful and let's put our treasure in investing in the two things that God says, watch this, will last forever. Watch this. Everything in this world won't last, but look at what will last. Watch. The Word of God. And watch this. We invest in people. Ministry's going to continue like never before. People are afraid, we're going to give hope. People are struggling, we're going to give life. People are worried, we're going to give the gospel. We've got ministries that have to continue. Temporarily, we'll do what we have to do. But I'm telling you, I believe we're going to come out the other side stronger. And I believe God's going to speak to many of us to do unusual things in this season. Hey, some of you are saying, well, my God, I'm going to hoard and hold on to my retirement. Now this week you're saying, my God, I lost all my retirement. Well, what if we would have invested that in kingdom? And God says, I will make sure you never lack. You lack for nothing. Trust me. And so before we take communion together, whatever venue you're in, whether you're watching on Facebook today, whether you're watching on YouTube today, we've opened up some online campuses, whether you're on our website, whether you're in this venue or any other venue at other locations. Church, what if today, in the middle of all of this, what if today for Calvary is one of the greatest days of generosity? Father, I thank you for a church that understands that we're a different kind of people, and we're not gonna live by what we see or what we hear or what we feel. We're gonna live by faith and we're gonna be faithful. Now speak to the people's heart and let them know that as a church, we're trusting you, but I thank you that you're asking us to trust you in this way. So whether we're giving digital or envelope right now, come on, church, we give our very best and we trust God to do the rest. In Jesus' name. And after we give, let's get the communion ready, because we're going to gather around the Lord's table, whatever venue, and we're going to set our eyes on Jesus. And I'm just declaring healing and protection over every one of you. Let's go ahead and give to the Lord right now. Come on. Come on.